Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to take a look back at 2017 and ahead at 2018 with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks. And we'll also get an update from Minnesotans helping with Puerto Rican hurricane recovery efforts. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon Network is an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon Network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program is vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. You help ensure our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you're ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. That's beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. As I mentioned at the opening of the show, we're going to take a look back at 2017 and ahead at 2018 with a couple of organizations today. We're going to start out with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And joining me in the studio today is Director Patrick Kelly. Director, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me back.
Sir, it's good to see you here in the studio. And it's going to be interesting to talk about all the things that have happened in the last year and coming up this year. But first, I want to remind our listeners that you are a retired U.S. Navy captain. And you spent most of your career in healthcare in the Navy, from the Philippines to Japan to Pensacola, Florida to Washington. You had quite a career, sir.
It's it's great being in the Navy. It's great being retired, but it was a good full career that I had.
Sounds like the old slogan, sir: join the Navy, see the world.
I saw a lot of the world. It was a good career. I wouldn't have done anything else.
Yeah, sir, you joined the Minneapolis VA healthcare system in June of 2013 as the director, and shortly after that, you've joined part of our producers of the show, and we've talked to a lot of your doctors from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system.
You know, we were recounting on the way over the course of the last 4 years, I'm about the 50th Minneapolis VA employee that you've had in studio. So we are really grateful for that. I mean, it's a good opportunity for us, and you do a terrific show, and it's a good chance for us to get our message out to your listeners. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. It's been a pleasure to have all your people on the show, and we're looking forward to more. And I'm afraid I'm an unabashed patient, and I love to tell anybody that'll listen that the VA's been raiding the medical centers around the country for 5 years, and you're the only facility for the last 5 years that's had that five-star rating.
We have a lot of good things going on at the medical center. You know, one of the things that I'm very thankful for is, you know, we have a workforce in Minnesota that I really believe is just second to none. And so lots of great doctors, nurses, support staff. More than anything else, I attribute our successes to the quality of our workforce and the Minnesota workforce. They're really good.
And they take great care of the patients, sir. I'm here to attest to that personally.
Good.
Director, it seems like since we started talking on the radio, you've been, every time I talk to you, you're wearing your hard hat. There's building projects going on all the time. You built a new ramp out there, and you built a covered walkway to access the building, and there's more parking spots available out in the parking lot now than I can ever remember, and I still try to park way out there and let the people that are in wheelchairs and stuff use the ramp. I haven't tried it yet, but I hear it's great. You had another big year last year.
Yeah, so one of the, and it's really nice talking about our building projects because they're very visible, and you know our veterans can see them, and it really has made some good improvements for our healthcare. So just a couple things to mention, Tom. So last January we opened a couple of brand new large hybrid ORs, which have allowed us to do a lot of procedures at the medical center that we previously had to send out to Mayo or the University of Minnesota. So we are now doing many, many more procedures at the medical center that are sophisticated, require imaging in the ORs, and it is really it has helped us to maintain a very high census in our hospital and to do some procedures that we just couldn't have done before. In March, we consolidated some of our primary care all up on the fourth floor. So, you know, one of the things our veterans have told us over the years is that because of the size and the complexity of the medical center, it can be a little confusing to find your way around. So navigating our medical center has been a challenge. We are consolidating all of our primary care clinics on the fourth floor, 4D, 4E, and 4F, and that will be complete in March of this year. So, you know, now instead of going to the first floor, maybe to the fourth floor, maybe to the third floor for your primary care, that's all going to be on the fourth floor in one area. So we'll have primary care, we'll have pharmacy, mental health, nutrition, a much more comprehensive location where veterans can get more of their care in an easier way without navigating their way through the hospital at multiple locations. We also, and again, this is kind of in keeping with the Secretary's priorities to eliminate veterans' homelessness. We opened in September a new 100-unit apartment for building Veterans East, where we have partnered with the state, county, and federal agencies. Good improvement. That's filled. We have a waiting list. So again, we're continuing that effort. And finally, and importantly, at this time of year, our new Canopy Connector is open, and that provides a little bit of heat from the veterans walking from the into the hospital from the parking ramp. So next time you use, or when you use the parking ramp, you will benefit from that little extra heat.
I'll try it on one of these days, sir. We're speaking with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center on Minnesota Military Radio. And, sir, I mentioned earlier you've got a 5-star rating, and your employees out there are just extraordinary.
Yeah, thanks. You know, the rating that you're referencing, Tom, is something that the VA does to compare their 148 medical centers. And we are the only one. It's now been 6 years since we have been a 5-star facility, which is not to say that we don't have areas for improvement, but it is to say that of the 28 measures that are incorporated in that, we do pretty well. And again, that's something that I'm proud of, and something that our staff can really sort of hang their hat on. Always areas for improvement, but it's nice to know that the veterans think we're doing a good job for them.
And, sir, and in addition to all your great employees, you've got a lot of great volunteers out there, too.
We have an incredible number of volunteers, 1,500 volunteers. What every veteran will find when they walk into our medical center is one of our 150 Red Vest volunteers who will help them get to where they're going. And I'm telling you, I think it's one of the best things we have going at the medical center. These are, of course, unpaid volunteers, 1,500 of them. Last year, it valued over $5 million worth of care, or between their work and their in-kind donations. It is really a model program and something that the other VAs have modeled that is going to be incorporated this year, and it's going to be mandated at all VAs, but that was based on the Minneapolis model.
Yeah. And, sir, I know that a number of your doctors that we've had on the show have won some awards as well.
Yeah, many of your listeners may get the Minneapolis St. Paul magazine, and every year they recognize that what they call the top docs. And so this past year, 10 of our doctors were recognized as leaders in their field of medicine. And they also do an issue on nurses. And so of the 13 nurses that they distinguished nurses in the state of Minnesota, four of those nurses were from our Minneapolis VA. So it's, again, just sort of representative of the quality of the workforce that we have. But it's nice when they get recognized. And this is recognition from their professional peers, not a VA recognition, but it's based on the work that they have done in the community and their good standing amongst their professional colleagues.
Director, we've only got about a minute left in this segment, but we've talked on the show over these years now that you have a very close working relationship with the University of Minnesota, and a lot of your doctors and nurses and people that are training for positions go back and forth. Yeah. It's high-quality personnel, isn't it?
That's one of the ways that we're able to provide some of the services where maybe we couldn't afford to hire a cardiothoracic surgeon based on the federal pay scales, but we have University of Minnesota physicians who work for us. And they spend their time in our ORs doing those cases. And so it is a wonderful relationship, lots of trainees, lots of medical students, fellows, residents. It really is something that our physicians value. And we have, in addition to the University of Minnesota, have 150 affiliate relations, just like the one at the University of Minnesota. So training is a big deal at the VA.
Great partnership, and I'm sure that's one of the things that allows you to rate highly across the nation when they look at all the VA medical centers.
Yeah, it's one way to get high-quality staff in your VA medical center. We have the second longest standing affiliate relationship with the University of Minnesota of any VA, and our physicians enjoy being on the staff at the university. and the university physicians doing their work in our medical center is really very complimentary and helps us to provide a better quality service to our veterans.
Director, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to look ahead at 2018 and see what's coming up on your calendar. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and talked a lot, Director, about 2017, and now we want to talk a little bit about 2018. But first, I'm wondering, how are you doing on the employment? Are you still looking for good nurses and doctors and other staff?
We are always looking for good nurses and doctors and others. We're doing pretty well. So we have over 4,000 employees who work in our part of our healthcare system, and over about 1,200 nurses. So there is a constant turnover of staff. And so any of your listeners who are nurses, physicians, health technicians, any support staff, it's pretty good work at the VA. So we are always turning over and always welcoming new staff. Every month we have a new employee orientation, 70 to 75 new staff. So people should consider working at the VA. It's a good place to work.
And, Director, every employee, volunteer, doctor, nurse that I've come in contact with out there over the last 6-7 years must have a real warm spot in their heart for veterans, because they treat us just like kings.
And that ranges from my wife, who volunteers as a Red Vest, to general officers, retired general officers, physicians. It's quite a good mix.
Some wonderful people out there, sir. You should be proud of them. 2018, I know you've got some priorities. Is access to care one of them?
Access to care is probably our number one priority. So Secretary Shulkin has identified 5 main priorities. I want to just mention 3 of them. So, you know, in the area of access, that's where some of the VA's problems started a few years ago. And so we have worked really hard between growing our services in the VA and buying services in the community. And so the VA is not privatizing. We are not standing down our medical centers or reducing services in our medical centers. Our goal, in fact, is to provide as many services as we can. But we now have 103,000 veterans who get their care through us, and we in many ways have sort of expanded to the point where we've outstripped our ability to provide all of that care in our medical center. So we buy a lot of care. That's the right thing to do. If veterans can't get timely care, if there are some services that we don't provide, and there are only a few of those, we send them out in the community, and that has been it has been a little rough over the first couple of years. Honestly, the buying the care in the community, the processes were not in place. Veterans were sometimes communication was not very strong. That was the CHOICE program that many of your listeners may be familiar with. But you know, our goal is to build more capacity in our medical center. We have done that, but we still need to do better in terms of reducing those wait times for all services. You know, for urgent care, we're good. We're strong. If a veteran needs to be seen, we'll see them same day. That's our commitment. But for other services, it still takes a long time to get an ear exam or sometimes an eye exam. We want that to be better, but for urgent services, we'll make sure the veteran's seen same day and when they need it.
Director, one of the things I enjoy there is I can go online and I can order my prescriptions, and if I have a message for my doctor, I can go online and communicate via the secure on the My Health, and I find that to be very, very useful.
Yeah, that is the My Healthy Vet program, and I use it all the time myself. And so for any of your listeners, if they're having trouble getting through on the phone or they have difficulty, our commitment is that our doctors will get back to you within 48 hours. So it's not so much intended for urgent care use. But if you just want to communicate with your care team, My Healthy Vet is terrific. And about 3/4 of our enrolled veterans use My Healthy Vet, and we get a lot of good use out of it.
And, Director, one of the other things that I know that you've been working on with a lot of organizations is suicide prevention.
So that's the Secretary and our number one clinical priority. So you know, it is a terrible problem, right? I mean, I think it's a problem we have recognized and need a lot of help from our community partners, you know, beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, the Guard, Reserve, you know, to help us to identify and to get those veterans who are at risk for suicide in to see our medical team. So one of the challenges, Tom, is that of the 20 veterans per day in our nation who commit suicide, only 6 of those veterans are engaged in VA healthcare. And so we need to identify those other 14. And you can't do it by sitting in your medical center waiting for them to come to you. They've chosen not to do that. So between community programs, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the states, the cities, a whole variety of partners, our goal this year is to identify more of those 14 of the 20 veterans who are not getting care, get them in, get them seen, because the data is very clear. When they're receiving mental health services, they are very much engaged to a point where their risk for suicide is significantly reduced. That's our goal. So we're building up our staff. We have 4 suicide prevention coordinators at the VA, at our VA. We're doubling that number, and their goal will be to get out more in the community and meet with community partners, chaplains, hospitals, anybody who engages with veterans, because we need to get them into VA healthcare.
And, sir, we've learned from your doctors that have joined us that you know how to help them if they can get there. And the thing for our families to be aware of is if there's a change, if your veteran is going through some kind of change, got quiet, if there's something wrong, ask them if there's a problem. And if there is, call the Minneapolis VA and get them out there and get some help.
That's a great message, Tom. So there's a veterans crisis line. There's a number of ways you can engage. But I think our listeners can be satisfied that this is one area where we are very, very expert because of our mental health focus in our community-based outpatient clinics, in our medical center. We know that a lot of veterans experience mental health-related concerns. We are staffed to deal with that, and we have sort of every program that you can think of, from military sexual trauma, post-traumatic stress, just sort of the whole range of mental health services, and some very, very good providers who work in that area.
Director, we just got a few minutes left. Modernization, is there still more projects coming?
There's always more projects coming. So the next project will be that we're going to be opening the consolidated primary care clinics. We are building towards single-use patient care rooms. For many of our veterans who've gotten their inpatient care at our Minneapolis VA, it can be frustrating when you're sharing a room, sometimes another roommate, sometimes up to 3 other roommates. And we have a project over the next 3 years so that we have all single patient rooms. That'll be a good enhancement. I mean, some veterans like having a roommate, especially if they don't have family in the area. And in some areas, like our community living center, we will still have some shared rooms. But for medical surgical patients, recovery is better when they have a single room, and we are building towards that, consolidating services. We're moving more things down to the first floor. So now, for example, if you want to see your Veterans Service Organization representative or the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, they are throughout the building in different places. They're going to be now down on the first floor right when you come in the building to make it easier for them to get to see someone who can help them to get the care that they need.
And they're great partners for you, too.
Oh, unbelievable. I mean, we are so fortunate to have 5 or 6 veteran service organizations, and of course the county veteran service officers too. We in the state of Minnesota, 87 CVSOs who are first rate and really great partners for us.
Sir, any changes coming to your community-based outpatient clinics?
Well, we're going to stay with the 13 that we have, again, ranging from Albert Lea up to Ely, but what we are going to expand some services. So our Mankato, St. James, CBOCs are going to get some additional services, primary care growth, and mental health services. Hibbing and Ely are going to get larger. New locations for Rochester Clinic and the Hayward, Wisconsin Clinic. So same number, bigger, better, few more services this year.
And, sir, for all our listeners out there, if they've got any questions about eligibility or questions about your services, they can just go online and look up the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and call that helpline, and you can your people will provide them with information.
And they can at any time walk in, and right in our flag atrium, right inside the lobby, there's eligibility section, so we can help them either one of those two ways.
Well, Director, I'm looking forward to seeing you with your hard hat on again this year when I come out to visit, or maybe I'll bump into you at the chapel again. Thanks for coming to visit us today in the studio.
Thanks, Tom.
That was Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll get an update from the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Networks on what they've been up to in 2017 and coming up this year. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to visit with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network and get an update on what's happened in 2017 and what they're looking forward to this year, 2018. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Have you served honorably? Are you a Minnesota resident? And are you interested in higher education? If you answered yes to these questions, you may be eligible for educational benefits in Minnesota. The Minnesota GI Bill provides post-secondary educational assistance to eligible Minnesota veterans, non-veterans who served in the military, and eligible spouses and children. Eligible recipients may now use the Minnesota GI Bill to pay for items such as testing, licensure, and certifications. In addition, change in the timing and permissible pre-year total expenditures for apprenticeship and on-the-job training will allow increased flexibility for recipients. The Minnesota GI Bill is different than the federal GI Bill. To learn more, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I indicated earlier, we're going to talk now and check in with the Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program. And joining me now to talk about that is Annette Kuiper, who is the Director of Military Outreach for the Department of Military Affairs in the state of Minnesota. Annette, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
You know, I always, I always tease you and call you the Yellow Ribbon Lady because ever since I met you the first time, you've been helping people start Yellow Ribbon communities. We had Yellow Ribbon churches. Now you're working hard on Yellow Ribbon companies. What are we up to and how long have you been doing this now?
Wow. Well, I really started in 2005 when my son deployed with the Minnesota National Guard and really looking at how our communities can help our service members during the deployment cycle.
And you've been adding communities, some churches, and a lot of businesses the last couple of years. How many different networks do we have?
So we have 96 Yellow Ribbon community networks in 226 cities and 26 counties. And we just made 60 Yellow Ribbon companies. So all of those have formed networks that are dedicated to supporting service members of all branches, veterans of any age or era, and military families.
And then, of course, we've had a lot of those communities and counties and companies on the show, and they all told us that they were under the influence of Annette Kuiper.
Yeah, we really hold the bar high. They have to meet those requirements, and we hold them to it. And they're really proving that they are great partners throughout our whole entire state.
Annette, can you tell us briefly, how do you become a Yellow Ribbon entity?
So becoming a Yellow Ribbon entity, at the community level, we really ask the community to form a steering committee of made up of key areas within the community, from law enforcement to the school district to city leadership, and they have to meet certain minimum requirements to become a community that really showcases their support. And some of the bars high, like identifying military-connected youth in their school district, ensuring that law enforcement has training, crisis training to help military families, that type of thing. For a company, it's really identifying those commitments that are within the realm of veteran recruiting, hiring, and retaining, military-connected employee support, and, of course, then connecting, having the companies connect in with our community networks.
So, Annette, some of these communities have been part of the Yellow Ribbon Network for quite a while. Has there been a challenge to keep them engaged and keep them up to date on things?
Yes, definitely. We have relied on our volunteer leaders who are amazing across the state, but we want to make sure that we're supporting them and that we connect all service providers to them to make sure that they feel like they know what the gaps in services and resources are and they're aware of the resources in their area. So that's always a challenge as we've grown the networks to really find that great, passionate, strong leader within a community that can really connect in and to ensure that all of our service providers are connecting to that volunteer leader and supporting them and working side by side with them.
And Annette, I know one of the things that you've been able to do over the last few years is to share best practices between communities and between companies. And if they've found a way to really help the families and support them, then you bring that information to everyone else.
Oh, yes. Once a year, we have our Joining Community Forces conferences in 6 locations across the state. We bring together all the community networks, and we share best practices. It's amazing. Then twice a year, the companies come together to really share their best practices in the workplace realm.
Very good, Annette. Now, you always bring a new guest with you, and you've got someone with you today. Would you like to introduce him?
Yes, Captain Adam Gottes is our new State Family Programs Director, and he is going to be a key partner with me going forward in the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program.
Captain, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Sir, can you tell us in this position, what is it that you do, and how do you work with this young lady?
Yeah, definitely. So as the Director of State Family Programs, the Family Programs encompasses seven, now eight programs with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Networks coming over to family programs. So I oversee the Family Assistance Centers, our Family Readiness Support Assistance, Military One Source, Employment Support of the Guard and Reserve, Child and Youth Programs, Citizen Soldiers for Life, which is a new contract that just started, as well as now connecting with our Yellow Ribbon Network. So I oversee all those programs, which all resource and support our service members and their families. So it's a great position to be in, and I'm really excited to have just stepped into this role here in October. So
Captain, for Annette and I, we've been watching this and participating in this for years, and the Yellow Ribbon program really started out as a method by which we can reintegrate our troops and their families on the way back from deployments and help them with any issues that may have come up. And it's come a long way in that since those days, hasn't it?
Yes, sure has.
So, Captain, all of that is under the auspices of the military control, because you want to take care of your troops when they're deployed, and, of course, provide family readiness people to help the families when they are deployed. And so a lot of that work falls on your shoulders. And, of course, you've got this whirling dervish over here that's out there wearing out cars, running all over the states to find a whole bunch of volunteers for you. That's got to be great.
It is really great. And we're really excited to have the Yellow Ribbon Networks become part of family programs. We already have a lot of the programs that are helping service members. So then to have our Yellow Ribbon Networks partnered and sitting right next to them, you know, it'll be a great just to have that partnership really right close to each other. I know over the last few years, Annette working right under Major General Nash's leadership and with his plan, it'll be great allow her to keep transitioning over to Yellow Ribbon Companies and to be focused there. And we're just really going to try and be a good steward of the program. She's just a motivational speaker and a community organizer, and she's done so much work over the last 10 years to build these networks. And I want to be a good steward of that program and to help them continue to be viable in the future. So,
and Captain, what are the future goals? Have you got some things in your plans for 2018 that you want to try to achieve?
Well, actually, yeah. Right now we're really in kind of a fact-finding and feedback-gathering stage with transitioning the Yellow Ribbon Networks over to family programs. Actually, on January 17th, we're having a kind of a feedback advisory council with some of our Yellow Ribbon Network leaders. So we're taking the Yellow Ribbon Network leaders that have been really successful, and we're going to get some feedback from them to see, hey, how can we help you be sustainable? Because we know we've had leaders that have been in place for a long time, and we want to make sure that we continue to support them and thank them for all the good things that they do. So we're really gathering feedback, and then we're going to take that feedback that they give us, and we're going to hopefully turn that into a couple of courses of action, which we execute throughout the year. So,
Annette, we've only got about a minute left in this segment, but we had General Jensen on the show last week, and mm-hmm. and he told us that, of course, he's the new Adjutant General for the state of Minnesota, and he told us that continuing to work hard with the Yellow Ribbon Networks and with you was one of his priorities. So you had a little change from General Nash, who you worked with for 7 years, and now General Jensen. Sounds like everything's going to just continue to move forward quite rapidly.
Yes, the transition has happened, and General Jensen has tasked me, as Captain Gottes mentioned, with working really closely with our Yellow Ribbon companies and unemployment for our Guard and Reserve in Minnesota. So I'll be partnering with partners that I already have in the Department of Labor, ESGR, as well as DEED, and our workforce centers across Minnesota to really enhance those efforts for our Guard and Reserve in Minnesota employment efforts.
So employment, we'll touch on that when we come back in the next segment, because that's always been a part of becoming Yellow Ribbon Company, but now it's more high focus a little bit?
Absolutely, and it is one of the leadership priorities that General Jensen has tasked me with, is really looking at that issue, ensuring that our Guard and Reserve members in Minnesota have opportunities and are working at their utmost capabilities.
Very good. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program here in Minnesota. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Annette Kuiper, Director of Military Outreach, about the Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Captain Adam Gaddis about the Family Readiness Support Assistance and all the ways that he works with Annette Kuiper. And Annette, when we left the last segment, we were talking about your focus for next year is adding more Yellow Ribbon companies, and your focus now is promoting employment for our active duty Guard, Reserve, veterans, and so forth.
Absolutely. So we have a couple really black and white goals that General Jensen has tasked me with. Number one is a goal we've been working on under General Nash as well, is to get all 17 Minnesota headquartered Fortune 500 companies as Yellow Ribbon companies. So before the end of the year, we proclaimed Hormel Foods as our 60th Yellow Ribbon company, and that was our 10th. So we have seven more Yellow Ribbon companies that we're going to be working with and partnering, and that's very exciting.
So we're also going to expect those by July 1st?
No, it won't be that fast. You know, the program is pretty rigorous for a company. So for some companies, it can take up to 2 years to prepare their action plan for state submission. So it is quite a rigorous process for a company. So I think we're a couple years out to have all of those, but at least get them in the docket to get their action plan started. And then also all of our Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. So all 37, we have 15. So we'll be working with all of them as well. So to get all of our Minnesota State Colleges and Universities that are part of that cohort together, and all of our Fortune 500 companies. But then we have many companies who have approached me about becoming Yellow Ribbon companies as well.
We're going to have to get you out of the studio. You've got lots of work to do.
I have a lot of work to do. That's why I'm moving some of it to Captain Gaddis's team, because I've been tasked under General Jensen to really get that relationship with our companies, and those companies have been absolutely fantastic. We're going to be sharing best practices with those companies and making sure that they and sharing with each other as well.
And I'm assuming many of them are going to be like Wells Fargo, who I think has the goal of hiring up to 20,000 veterans, and they're well on their way, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. And they have really been hiring our veterans and service members, as well as all the other Yellow Ribbon companies have been doing a fantastic job.
And Captain, she can move fast, but she's got some heavy goals there. You're going to have to help her with that, as well as all your other duties, including taking care of all of our military families here in Minnesota.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, you know, we really have that goal that, you know, no matter what branch of service that you served in, no matter if you're currently serving or if you're previously served, we want to make sure that if you're a veteran or a currently serving service member, that you can have whatever resource that you need got to you. So I know we're going to partner with Annette on her employment goals, and then also with, you know, between our county veteran service officers, between our family assistance centers, between our family readiness support groups, and with our Beyond the Yellow Ribbon networks, there should be no reason that any service member goes in need, because no matter which of those organizations you get in touch with, you should be able to get a referral to any kind of assistance that you need for any type of help. If it's mental health, if it's medical help, if it's you're behind on your bills, doesn't matter. You know, when you served, where you served, we should be able to get you some help.
And Captain, the General told us that there's going to be an uptick in deployments, hundreds and hundreds of airmen and soldiers going out next year. So part of your task is to make sure those families get the help they need.
Absolutely. And we'll have our pre and post-deployment events to make sure that we catch any of those needs that we can before they go. And we'll be prepared to triage them once they come back. So we think we have a really great team here in the state of Minnesota. And we have a lot of resources that are available. And it's just getting that penetration and getting the word into all those soldiers years so that they know where to go and they know that they can ask for help.
Captain, good luck this year. There's going to be a lot of deployments, and I'm sure you'll take good care of the families. Annette, about 30 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
Well, I would just like to say thank you to all the Yellow Ribbon Network's volunteers and leaders and the companies and all their volunteers they have within their organizations. They have truly made a difference in Minnesota for our service members, veterans, and military families. And we thank them. We could not have this wonderful program without their support.
Thank you both for joining us today. Mm-hmm. It was Annette Kuiper and Captain Adam Gottes on Minnesota Military Radio speaking about Minnesota's Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program.
No, I agree. It's a good opportunity right here.
Joining me now from the Army Corps of Engineers in Puerto Rico is Patrick Locke. Pat has been a member of the Minnesota Army National Guard for 18 years, and he's currently with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers as a public affairs specialist. Pat, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom. It's good to hear from you.
Can you tell us what's the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers doing in Puerto Rico?
Well, in short, a lot. Tom, there is an incredible amount of work going on down here in Puerto Rico. Hurricane Maria was just a devastating storm, and the people of Puerto Rico really need a lot of help to rebuild the infrastructure and just get back on their feet. And we're down here performing several missions to do just that.
And what's your part in all this, Pat, as a public affairs guy?
Yeah, so it's obviously there's going to be a lot of interest, you know, from the states and even local here about what we're doing. So as a public affairs specialist, we're facilitating those media queries and getting people the answers that they're looking for. And then also, you know, telling our story, letting people know all the good things that we're doing.
So I understand you're down in San Juan at the Recovery Field Office. And can you tell us, I think there's about four areas of work that you're doing, starting with Operation Blue Roof.
Yeah, so this is one of the biggest ones. So all the homes that sustained roof damage after Hurricane Maria, if they meet eligibility requirements, we can come in and install this temporary reinforced sheeting. It's intended to be a temporary fix so that they can find that permanent repair for the roof. So there's 75,000 homes we estimate that are eligible for this program, and we're about 32,000 complete as of today. So there's a credible amount of work to do, but we've done a lot so far. And we're really starting to ramp that program up. We've got about 850 installs happening every day now.
Pat, I understand there's debris everywhere from the hurricane.
6.2 million cubic yards is what was estimated on the island after the storms passed through. 3.9 of that is passed to USAFE, and we've collected about 2 million of that in 70 different collection sites around the island to date.
So you got a little bit of work left to do there.
Yes, there's a lot of work to do in all the fields, but we're really hitting our stride and making significant progress every day.
Pat, we see in the news and hear in the news that there's a problem with the power hasn't been restored.
Yeah, so the infrastructure here was devastated by the storm. I can't say that enough how big, I mean, this is a direct hit from Hurricane Maria. And the infrastructure here was outdated, and it wasn't very well maintained, so you got to rebuild the whole thing, and it's materials and people. You're talking 60,000 utility poles, thousands of miles of transmission lines that all need to come from the states to here. And then you got to get the people to put it into place. And then just to give you an idea of the challenges, I mean, we have helicopters dropping poles in the mountains one day at a time, you know what I mean? So it's not like you can just drop 10 poles in a day. There are some logistical issues here.
Pat, we just got about 30 seconds left. I understand you've got about 850 personnel down there. How are they doing? Are they holding up all right, and are they proud to be doing the mission?
Everyone I work with since I joined the Corps has been smart, dedicated, and talented. Everybody that comes down here volunteers to be here, and they're here because they want to be here. We're working every day, all day. Morale is high. Everybody wants to see the people of Puerto Rico get back to normalcy. So I'm proud to be working with them.
Pat, please greet him for us. Be safe, get the mission done, and bring everyone home safely.
Will do, Tom. Good hearing your voice. Take care.
Thanks for joining us today, Pat. It's Patrick Locke from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers from San Juan, Puerto Rico. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Annette Kuiper, Captain Adam Gottes, Patrick Locke, Commissioner Larry Shelleto, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we meet Camp Ripley's new senior commander and hear the latest on Minnesota's efforts to help with veteran homelessness. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.